Once again, a special welcome to all of you today, especially anybody visiting for Parents Family Weekend here at A&M. It's been a glorious weekend with this weather, and it's such a gift to have y'all here at St. Mary's Catholic Center here on this Sabbath day. You know, I always say, no matter what happens, it's always a good day in Aggieland, especially here in St. Mary's. So we had tons of people this morning at Masses, had to have some overflow, and we're so ready to get into that new church. So about 3 more months, and that will be our new home, which is very exciting. Don't worry, this place will still be here, so we'll be having weddings and probably make it our new chapel. So it'll be great to have a new worship space, but also keep this one as well. You know, today we're talking about Divine Mercy Sunday. Maybe some of you know what that is, maybe some of you don't. And it's a great reminder today to highlight that around the universal church across the world to remind us of this divine mercy. So first off, Divine Mercy, we have this image from Sister Faustina, St. Faustina. She's a Polish sister that Jesus revealed this private revelation to. So he wanted the world, especially in a time where there was great tension and great division in our world, and sounds familiar today as well. And he wanted his people to know about his mercy that heals, his mercy that heals hearts, that heals families, that heals nations, who heals the church. And so in this image, we see these two rays of light coming out from Jesus' most sacred heart. We see the blue light and the red, the blue representing the waters of baptism, so his mercy that extends from these cleansing waters that opens the gates of paradise to each one of us. And then we also know the red ray that symbolizes his precious blood, so his blood that was poured out for us, that is given to us in a special way in the Eucharist as well, the Eucharist and all the sacraments that are channels of his grace that help to transform us to be able to become more like him, that lead us on this path towards heaven. And then we have Jesus, I trust in you underneath it. So a great image for us and a reminder, maybe some of you have these in your houses, in your dorms, maybe you use them near you when you study, just to remember that all of us are called to embrace God's mercy. So divine mercy, let's break it down a little bit. Divine, we know from God, and then mercy coming from the Latin is misericordiae. Misere, if we split it up, and then corde. So misere meaning misery is where our English word comes from. Cor, corazón in Spanish, so cor meaning heart. So it's a misery of the heart. St. Thomas Aquinas said if we want to show mercy on someone, then we want to release them of that misery of their heart, to alleviate the misery of the heart. So that's what we're called to do, and that's what God desires for each one of us. Anybody who is open to receiving his divine mercy, he wants to take away the sufferings of our hearts. He wants us to find healing. He wants us to find wholeness. He wants us to flourish. And as he bestows that upon us, part of our baptismal call as Christians is then we are to bestow it on others. So in our own lives, be able to alleviate that suffering of the heart from those around us, our roommates, our significant others, our friends, our family, the stranger, even our enemy, as Jesus calls us to. You know, one of the parables in Scripture that I love that I think just defines divine mercy so well is the parable of the prodigal son. I'm not going to go through all of it now, but, you know, we know that the son who takes his father's inheritance early, basically disowns his father, goes and basically spends that inheritance on sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and he comes back to his father, and he wants him to be treated as a slave, to say, at least I can eat food if I'm treated as a slave by my father. And when the father sees him coming, he just embraces him. He doesn't condemn him. He doesn't ask questions. He just welcomes his son back home. That's a beautiful image of the divine mercy that God the Father desires for each one of us, no matter what life's looked like, no matter what life looks like now or what it'll look like in the future, that we have hearts open to coming back to the Father's home, to his house. We know that in that story, too, we have the older brother who wants to refuse mercy to the younger son, that his heart is hardened towards him, and then it starts to be hardened towards the father. And so we see this effect whenever we refuse mercy to our neighbor, then it does harden our hearts towards the neighbor and then also towards God. Ultimately, in that story, the hope is that one day each one of us becomes like the father, that we can receive mercy, that we can be in the father's house, and then we can also bestow it upon others as well. Our gospel for today, Holy Mother Church gives us on the second Sunday of Easter, is a beautiful one for us to be able to see God's mercy too. So I'd love to just go through it with you verse by verse. If you have your Bible with you, we'll be in John chapter 20, starting at verse 19, all the way till the end of verse 31. So maybe you have your Every Sacred Sunday little missal, or if you have your pew missal, you're welcome to follow along. Your Bible, feel free to make notes. So John chapter 20, verse 19. So we hear on the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. So we're starting off, we're recognizing the disciples, it was the apostles that were in the upper room. So we know there were 10 of them. So it was all of them except Judas, who's killed himself already. And then we know Thomas, who's not present, as we read in our gospel. So all of them are locked in the upper room out of fear. I think this is something very human that we experience as well. You know, that fear isolates us. Fear paralyzes us. Fear keeps us captive. You know, these apostles were supposed to go out and spread the good news that Jesus died and then he rose again, the empty tomb. But instead, fear is keeping them from doing what they're supposed to do. I think in our own lives, we see that as well, especially any of our students who are heading towards summer, towards graduation, towards big steps in their lives. All of us can experience this fear, which is not of God. You know, fear keeps us from trusting in God. Fear keeps us from communing with God, being with our God. It can be an obstacle to our faith. One of the amazing things is right after we hear this, so the disciples, for fear of the Jews, they were in this upper room, and then Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." So Jesus came. He's dynamic. Our God is dynamic. He comes to us. He stood in their midst, and then he speaks, "Peace be with you," shalom in Hebrew. My friends, that's exactly what our Lord desires for us. In those times of fear and those obstacles and those doubts, that Jesus comes to us, he's there, he's waiting for us to open our hearts to him and to allow him to speak his peace, to speak his healing into our lives. You know, in the liturgy today, you hear it every single Sunday, every single day. For some of you, go to daily mass and be attentive to it. The many times that we hear about peace that the Lord's wanting to give us, he as the Prince of Peace, even from the altar, the Eucharist, "The peace of Christ be with you always and with your spirit." Show each other the sign of peace. You know, this peace is not a peace that the world gives. The peace that the world gives is something that's fleeting, that's temporary. But the peace from the Prince of Peace himself is one that is permanent, the one that stays with us always, that stands in the midst of the storm. So no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter if we're on the mountaintops or in the valleys, that we can always have God's peace because it's a supernatural peace that comes from a relationship with him. If we continue on in our scripture, verse 21, we hear, he said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you," sent being apostle. "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retained are retained." So my friends, this word breathed on them is ruah in the Hebrew translation. The ruah is the same word that was used as the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters in Genesis at the creation of the world. As there was life being brought, creation was being made. And it's the same Holy Spirit, the same ruah, this breath that Jesus, the Son of God, is breathing on those apostles, those first men who are our first bishops, our first priests, and then is handed down in apostolic succession, as we call it, to all those priests that have been ordained ever since. And we know here that Jesus just rose from the dead. And what is one of the first things that he gives to the church? That he gives authority to these yet sinful men, but the ones that he has chosen to lead his church, he gives them the power to forgive sins. Because Jesus knows our weakness. He knows our frailty. He knows how sin can keep us in isolation. It can cover us in shame. And that's not what the Lord wants. He wants us to live in his freedom. He wants to live in intimacy with us. And so he gives this power and authority to forgive sins, this sacrament of confession that we've received as gift, so we don't have to hide, that we don't have to be in shame, that we can have hope that the Lord will always give us his mercy. Each and every day, each and every morning, his mercies are new. The sacrament of confession that we are given as gift, you know, an instrument of grace to be able to know that we are truly forgiven. I've talked to one of our students who recently became Catholic at the Easter Vigil, and he grew up in a Protestant denomination, loved it, received so much from it, very grateful for the faith he was given by his parents. But one of the gifts he received as he's come into the Catholic Church is the sacrament of confession. He says he tries to explain it to some of his family or his friends who aren't Catholic, and they can't totally understand. And he says, "I just have to, you experience it for yourself, and you realize there's something different, that you truly feel forgiven in that sacrament, that there's something mystical, something mysterious that he's experienced now for the first time." It's amazing just to hear his witness of the beauty of this sacrament. So we continue on with Thomas. So we hear that Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And so the other disciples said, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Well, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the nail marks and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." You know, we hear about doubting Thomas a lot. I think what Thomas is struggling with in his heart is FOMO, you know, the fear of missing out. You know, there's only 11 apostles at this time. Like I said, Judas already killed himself. He's the only one not there. So he wanted to be there when Jesus appeared, and I think that's part of his struggle in his heart. But how many times have we related with Thomas? You know, unless Jesus, you make this summer internship happen for me, I will not believe. You know, unless, I got chuckles at this mess, it's funny. None of the other masses chuckled. But seriously, you know, we can think of this in our own lives. You know, unless you provide for me in this way, unless you answer this prayer, unless you heal this person in my life, unless, and we put our to-do list there. We put conditions on God. We put conditions on the King of the universe. And then we say, unless you do this, I will not believe. So we continue on in verse 26. Now a week later, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." I don't know about you, but this verse gives me consolation because it's hinting at this path of conversion that all of us are on. You know, it was only a week later and it's like deja vu happening again. You know, once again, they're locked in the upper room. There's some fear probably going on in their hearts. And then Jesus once again comes to them and then speaks his peace. How many times for us too, especially in the sacrament of confession, do we feel like we're confessing the same sins over and over and over again? And I say, that's great that you have the same sins, because if you had a new list every time, that'd be kind of crazy. You know, so praise God that it's your same sins you're bringing back to the Lord, because slowly he's going to keep speaking peace. Slowly he's going to have you keep taking steps to grow in virtue, to grow in prayer, so that you can rid this sin out of your life, this sin that keeps us captive, this sin that keeps chains us to things of this world. But the Lord slowly and gently wants to free us from those so that we can live for the things of heaven. So for me, I find great consolation that only a week later, these apostles were having basically the same message spoken to them. And I think we can relate with that sometimes we need to hear it each and every day even about God's love, his mercy, his peace, and allow it to soak more and more into our hearts. So then we hear Jesus, this great reconciliation that happens. He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." And then Thomas gives his great exclamation, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Right here we see that even in Thomas's doubting, he still has blessed upon him by the Lord. But then for us today who are not walking in the presence of Jesus, and yes, we have the Eucharist, that's his real presence, but it maybe there's times that we still doubt. You know, there's times where we're in that valley. And this is something for us to remember, that blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Those times where we are unsure and we say, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." That the Lord speaks blessing over us in those moments. That he says, "Yeah, you're not going to have it all figured out, and that's okay. Trust in me. Take a step. Trust in me, take a step," knowing that he is the good shepherd that's never going to lead us astray. Now, when we get to verse 30, I think this could be a little side note for our homily today, but a good one, not for something for us to gloss over, especially as Catholics. So we hear, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book." One of the beautiful things that we have as gift as Christians is the Bible. This is God's revelation to us, revealing who is our God and what is his plan for us for salvation. As Catholics, we have the gift of also having sacred tradition, the two fonts of God's revelation, sacred scripture, sacred tradition. The sacred tradition is being hinted at here in verse 30. You know, that there were many other signs in the presence of his disciples that were not written in this book. And you betcha that there are going to be people who saw these signs and they're going to go tell their grandkids, they're going to go tell their children, they're going to go tell their roommates of the signs that they saw Jesus do. And those people are going to pass those down to their friends and to the nearby village. And in the first 500 years of the church especially, there's a lot of tradition being formed as the apostles are trying to understand Jesus' teachings, as the Holy Spirit is guiding the church as it begins to grow and develop, and deepening the understanding of who is Jesus and what is this mission we're called to. And so people told these stories orally, but then they also wrote them down as well, so that the early church and the church we have today could have this sacred tradition to help us know more of who God is and how we can worship him and encounter him and then live as a people of God. So we end our gospel today in verse 31. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. My friends, right here, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, not just another miracle worker, not a talk show host, not a therapist, not a vibe of the world, that Jesus is a person, that he is calling each one of us as Christians to be in relationship with. And if we say that we're Christian, that means we're spending time each and every day with God in prayer. Because Christianity is just not a moral code. It's not just a nice belief system. It's relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so our Lord desires for us to take those steps, not just on Sunday, not just once a month on a Sunday, not just when our parents come into town, but every single day of the week, that we have relationship with our Lord, that we keep getting to know him, spending time with him, receiving his love and his mercy. And whenever we do that, when we have belief in his name, when we have trust in his name, it says here that then we have life. So many times we think, oh, Christianity just makes us live a boring life, or it keeps us captive. We follow a bunch of rules. That's the way of the world. That's how the world sees Christianity. If we live Christianity, if we live relationship with Christ, if we live in the life of the church with the beauty of all the sacraments and fellowship with the people, we know that that lives to life. We know that that leads to freedom and to flourishing. Does it mean the cross goes away? No. Jesus promises us the cross will be there. He promises us there will be suffering. It's part of our human condition. But he promises us that this life is not it. That if we walk with him in this life, if we believe in him, if we trust in him, that it will lead to eternal life. And that's what we were created for. That's what this Easter season, which is for 50 days, is all about. To remind us that there is a hope of the resurrection. That if we choose to pick up our cross daily, if we choose to commune with our God daily and live a life for him, then eternal life awaits us. Can this sometimes be scary? Yes. Can this sometimes be hard and difficult? Yes. Can this sometimes be countercultural? 99.999% of the time today, yes. It is countercultural. But we know that it's worth it. So my hope is that we continue on in this Mass, and as we continue on in this Easter season, maybe this week, in the midst of our studies, our exams, the end of this semester coming up, really have a pulse of our spiritual life right now. You know, am I reconciled to God? Am I living every single day for him? Am I bringing him to class? Am I bringing him to the intramural sports field? Am I bringing him to my Oregon campus? Am I bringing him to my celebrations with my friends? And then secondly, after we look, if we're reconciled with God, if we're living a life for him, then are we living a life by loving our neighbor? Are we reconciled to those around us with this divine mercy? Is there somebody in our life who our hearts are hardened to? Maybe it's a roommate, a friend, a significant other, a family member. Maybe it's an enemy, a stranger. The Lord says, if I am going to bestow my great mercy on you, then you have to be able to bestow it on others. Doesn't mean you have to be their best friend, but to release them of their debt, to alleviate the suffering in their heart, is the mercy that God desires for each one of us. And always with God's grace, with the help of the sacraments, with our daily prayer and the help of the community, this is possible. And everywhere in doubt, whenever we're in fear, we can make this small little prayer on this Divine Mercy Sunday, today and always. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.
Thank you for listening to Aggie Catholic Homilies. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Be sure to check out our sister podcast, Aggie Catholic Talks, to hear talks from Magnify, Catholicism 101, and more. Thanks, God bless, and gig 'em.